Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Polychoria is an extremely rare eye condition in which an iris contains two pupils. Before last weekend, I didn't even know that an eye could have double pupils. You might be in the same boat, given that there have only been 2 recorded cases of true polychoria since 1966, supposedly. Why am I telling you about an obscure type of eye defect? Well, I've been conducting research on the topic. I need to understand what happened at my great-aunt's mansion out in the sticks. I thought that finding an answer would ease the gnawing knot of terror in my chest, but no rational explanation seemed to suffice. Not even the textbook definition of polychoria explained what I saw. My father's side of the family is essentially non-existent, due to some terrible childhood event that he hasn't ever discussed. Only he and his aunt, Audrey, survived. We used to be visited by her when we were little, but she had grown sicker and sicker with every passing year. So last weekend, we finally went on a family trip to see her.
Why do we have to drive all the way to Scotland?
My younger sister, Lisa, moaned.
I don't think you'll be whining when you see it, Lisa.
My dad laughed.
It makes our house look like a shoebox. It's a palace.
In the middle of nowhere.
My little brother, Jacob, muttered under his breath.
Inverness isn't the middle of nowhere. My dad scoffed.
It's not technically Inverness, though, is it?
I pointed out.
I checked the destination on Google Maps. Audrey's house is a few miles from the city in a sketchy little place with no name.
Come on, everyone. This is an adventure. You'll be eating your words in a few hours,
my mom said.
You won't want to go back to Bury.
She wasn't wrong, but I didn't want to be in Bury or Inverness. I wanted to be with my university friends in Manchester. They were partying before resuming studies. I, meanwhile, was cooped up in a car with my irritating siblings and incessantly peppy parents.
Red car,
Jacob giggled. Thump. Every time he saw a red car on the motorway, my demonic brother would punch me in the arm. I semi-patiently tolerated the moronic game. Jacob's 11-year-old attention deficit brain needed some sort of stimulation on a 6-hour car journey. The alternative would be fidgeting and complaining about the lack of signal on his phone. Besides, I had ways to entertain myself, too.
Did you ever hear about the little boy who spoke too much?
I asked.
Felicity,
my mom warned.
No scaring your brother.
I'm not scared of Felicity's lame-ass ghost stories,
Jacob insisted.
Oh, this isn't a story, I said. This is something I saw on the news. A little boy drove his older sister to madness, but she was a med student. So she tied him to an operating table, stitched his lips together, and for good measure, removed his limbs.
No, she didn't,
Jacob stammered.
You made that up.
My brother attempted to maintain his composure, but his trembling voice gave him away.
If only you had a signal to Google it on your phone, eh?
I teased.
No, you're right. I made up the part about the limbs. It makes a gal think, though.
I eyed up Jacob's left arm, the weapon that he used for the red car game. I slowly stroked my chin, as if I were contemplating how I'd saw off my brother's culpable limb, given the chance. His face turned pale.
Come on, Felicity, my mom said. Enough. Scared, Mom?
I asked, grinning.
Look out the window, Felicity,
Lisa said.
There's something creepier than your story.
We'd reached Audrey's village. All 5 of us silently soaked in the strange little ghost town. It was a time capsule, a perfectly preserved place. Rusted husks of vehicles from the 90s were rotted away on overgrown, weed-covered driveways. The main road was mostly deserted, but there were a few withered wanderers who stopped and suspiciously... But there were a few withered wanderers who stopped and suspiciously squinted at the family in the shiny Range Rover. We were out of place, and everybody knew it.
Does anybody even live here? Lisa asked, shuddering.
These people look like ghosts.
A lot of folks moved away in the 90s, my dad replied. Most of the people around here were farmers, and they left when the crop fields started to dry up.
I don't like that they're all staring at us,
Jacob said, disappearing into his seat. Not many people come to these parts, my dad said. That's all.
What about your aunt?
Lisa asked.
Why's she still here?
Old money, my mom chuckled.
Very old money, my dad added. My family members definitely weren't farmers. I guess you weren't listening when I said mansion. As we rounded the corner at the end of the village, my father smugly nodded his head at something ahead of him. Take a look, he said. We squeezed our heads between the two front seats, eager to see what lay at the end of the half-mile stretch of road. Even at that distance, the humongous house loomed impressively above its surroundings. Woodland sat behind it, and huge gates sat before it, roughly a quarter mile down the road. It was a ridiculously long driveway.
What do you think?
My mom asked.
Speechless, aren't we?
It looks like a haunted house, Jacob said.
I leaned towards him and whispered,
I bet there's an operating table in the basement.
As we trudged onto the gravel at the front of the house, which I had half expected to be abandoned, we were greeted by a dozen smartly dressed servants. I thought to myself that my great-aunt was probably the only employer left in the barren village. I kept that hypothesis to myself, of course. Once we had all bundled out of the Range Rover, my father opened the boot. A young man in a suit swiftly sprinted in front of him.
Let me get the bags for you, sir,
the man insisted.
Mr. Rhinestone is waiting for you in the lounge.
Yes, that's our family name. Believe me when I say that I've faced plenty of ridicule for having what my families call a bougie name. Felicity Rhinestone. My brother and my parents headed to the front door. My sister, who was multitasking by looking at her phone and her surroundings, strolled alongside me.
These members of the staff look like hostages. Do you think she pays them?
Lisa asked, smirking.
I laughed.
We're in the boonies now, who knows? The slave trade might still exist out here.
We snorted under our breaths.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Some of the servants collected our bags from the Range Rover, but most of them hung back. They were standing proudly on the driveway, as if they were guards of Buckingham Palace. One of them, in particular, caught my eye. She was a young, spectacularly pretty woman who wore her dirty blonde hair in a ponytail. Actually, she was a girl. She must have been around my age. She beamed at me, and her posture seemed a little lackadaisical compared to her regimented colleagues. From the moment I first saw her, it was clear that she didn't belong. I hardly registered all of those things, however. I noticed something else. She had 2 black pupils in her left iris. Desperately trying not to gawk, I politely smiled at the servant and hurried my sister into the house, following the rest of our family. The beautiful staff member tilted his head to one side, following us with all 3 pupils, and there was something wrong with the smile on her lips. It filled me with immense dread. I was sure to close the front door behind me, so as to distance myself from the woman's eerie gaze. It had nothing to do with the double pupil in her eye, and everything to do with her haunting expression.
What's wrong with the...
Lisa began.
Stop, I interrupted. You can't comment on things like that.
My sister was already Googling 2 pupils, 1 eye, so I peered over her shoulder. That was when we first learned of polychoria.
Lisa thought it was cool, but I told her to keep that opinion to herself. The condition comes with difficulties, such as visual impairment, which I was sure to point out to my younger sister. We took a moment to admire the mighty house in which we found ourselves. I wouldn't exactly call myself an expert in architecture, but the lavish rhinestone home must have dated back to the late 19th century, given the long-faded Victorian decor. There were so many dusty, neglected paintings of our ancestors. The canvases hung on mahogany walls, which lined two staircases at either side of the entryway. It might not have been mahogany. It was something needlessly decadent. The lounge was visible through a large doorway on the right-hand side of the expensive lobby area. Standing in the doorway, my father spotted my sister and me. He beckoned for us to come and greet our great-aunt. "Interior two grandnieces, Audrey," my dad said. As my sister and I entered the lounge, my great-aunt Audrey swiveled her head around to face us over the back of her armchair. It was only a courtesy, I suppose, given her blindness. Her glazed eyes surveyed Lisa and me. When she used to visit us, I always believed that she was lying. I thought she could actually see.
"I assume you've both grown, but I wouldn't know," Audrey said, lightly giggling.
I knelt on the rug in front of the log fire with Jacob, and my mom ushered Lisa into the kitchen. They helped the servants to prepare dinner. My little brother seemed content that, at long last, his phone signal had returned. There certainly wasn't any Wi-Fi in that ancient house, so I warned him not to burn through all of his mobile data, or brain cells, on terrible TikTok videos. When I mustered the energy to stand up, I saw Audrey whispering to my father. I couldn't catch all of it, but she seemed to be berating him for coming to the house. He told her that her 90th birthday was a special occasion, but she persisted with the scolding. I pretended to inspect the photographs on the mantel above the fireplace so as to not to arouse suspicion.
"I told you to never come back to this place," she whispered.
I heard that last line very clearly. "Aunt Audrey can tell you all about the people in those photos," my dad said, speaking at normal volume again. "Do you recognize any of them, Felicity?" I scoffed.
"No? You've never told us anything about your side of the family."
"Is that true, Lionel?" Audrey gasped. "Surely you've told them about your mother."
"I told you about Maggie, Felicity," my dad said.
"You told me her name,"
I replied.
"Your father's mother, my sister, was a remarkable woman," Audrey said. "I think you two would have liked her. She would have adored you. What happened in 89 was, well, your father and I were fortunate to survive."
"Audrey," my dad began.
"I think we should talk about it,"
Audrey insisted.
"There was a time that you thought I was the greatest aunt in the world, Lionel. You see, Felicity, I was the black sheep of the family. The Rhinestones were always such serious people, and I felt suffocated by them. Lionel's mother was the same, but she was always better at playing by the rules than me. She married, settled down, had children, and did everything by the book."
Children. I knew my father had lost his parents in the mysterious incident in 89, but he'd never mentioned any siblings.
"Maggie was the only one who looked out for me, much as you look out for your brother and sister, Felicity,"
Audrey continued.
"When I told my family what I'd seen in the orchard, Maggie was the only one who believed me."
"Dinner,"
my mom interrupted, bursting into the room. My father guided Audrey into the dining area, casting a disparaging look at my brother and me, as if to say that we should just let the topic drop. We entered a grand room with an obnoxiously long table. More mahogany, more paintings, more rot, cobwebs, and dingy lighting. And yet, despite all of that, Audrey's ancestral home still had an air of sophistication and character. It was haunting, but it was also beautiful.
"What is this?" Jacob asked.
We'd been served plates of indistinguishable meat with sides of vegetables. It almost looked like a roast dinner, but I shared Jacob's sentiment. I didn't like the look of the meat.
"Jacob,"
my mom gasped.
"I'm so sorry, Audrey."
Audrey simply laughed.
It's fine, Grace. I get it. Looks strange, doesn't it, Jacob? It's a slightly unique haggis recipe. You're in Scotland, after all. Anyway, it's hard to find meat in these parts. The land isn't what it used to be.
Breaking the uncomfortable stillness that followed Audrey's somber statement, servants emerged from the kitchen to collect our plates. My parents engaged in conversation with them, attempting to revitalize the atmosphere of the meal. I recognized one of the workers.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
From our arrival, the woman with polychoria. However, something was different. Her iris had returned to normal. There was only one pupil in her left eye, but that wasn't what really stood out to me. Her face was warmer, kinder. "Are you finished?" she asked, reaching for my plate. Gazing at her dopily, I nodded. The woman smiled at me with 2 blue eyes, each containing only one pupil.
"I'm Rosie," she said. "You're Felicity, right?"
Bowled over by the bubbly girl hovering to the side of my chair, I shook off the fear and confusion that had previously instilled me.
"Yeah, nice to meet you,"
I awkwardly replied.
"Sorry for not introducing myself earlier," Rosie said. "You looked a little freaked out. I hope I wasn't giving you a resting bitch face. I just had a bad headache, that's all. It's been a long first week. I hate this job."
After that brief one-way conversation, Rosie took my plate and left, as did the other servants. The rest of the evening slipped away from me. I couldn't stop thinking about the woman whose iris had changed in the space of a few hours. I couldn't stop thinking about the complete transformation in her overall aura. I don't know how else to describe the feeling in the pit of my stomach. All I know is that it filled me with unease. Rosie filled me with unease. As lovely as she seemed, I felt deeply disconcerted around her.
"Hey, Felicity,"
Lisa whispered.
"Come and look out of this window."
Later in the evening, we were exploring the house. Lisa and I ended up watching Audrey's orchard from a second floor window. It must have been around 11 p.m. The overcast moon barely illuminated the acres of land behind the mansion, but we saw enough. More than enough. The grass was moving, some black, featureless substance was seeping from the earth. It was slithering in long, snake-like trails towards the house.
"What is that?"
Lisa whimpered. Before I could respond, there was a creak at the other end of the upstairs hallway. We both turned to see what had created this sound. Nothing. With quaking knees, my sister and I walked towards the other end of the corridor, clutching each other's whitened hands in terror. When we reached the other end, we turned our heads to the right and looked down the staircase that led to the entryway. No light, no sound, nobody. Everyone, other than us, had gone to bed.
"I think we're jumping at shadows in the orchard and sounds of the house,"
I whispered to my little sister, attempting to soothe her.
"Time for bed."
Lisa nodded, wiping a tear that had started to form at the bottom of her eye. With a gentle nod of my head, I motioned at the bedroom door to the side of us. My sister entered the room and closed the door behind her. I turned around, ready to follow suit and get some much-needed rest. That's when I saw her. At the opposite end of the hallway, standing before the window that overlooked the orchard, was a woman. In the unlit corridor, only dim moonlight revealed any of her features, but it was sufficient. Rosie. Even in the darkness of that upstairs hallway, I could tell that it wasn't the friendly Rosie I'd met in the dining room. It was the other Rosie that I'd seen when we first arrived at the house. Only half of her face was visible in the white glow of the moon. The left side. Her left iris, even at the other end of the corridor, noticeably contains two pupils.
Felicity, Rosie whispered. Such a pretty name. Such pretty eyes.
Rosie turned to face the window. She gazed upon the orchard. Petrified, I was fixated on the shadowy specter with its back turned to me. And then, in a slow yet somehow instantaneous act, the unnerving woman raised her hands. She seized the two curtains on either side of the window. As her silhouetted fingers tightened their grip on the black fabric, I silently screamed. I understood what she was doing. The curtains drew closed, and we were standing in the darkness. She was at the window end of the corridor, and I was at the staircase end. I wanted to run, but I couldn't see a thing. Moreover, I was paralyzed by fear. Silence. Then, the most horrifyingly loud wheezing. The pitter-pattering of delicate footsteps across the corridor. I didn't need to see anything to know that the thing, which looked like Rosie but wasn't her, had started to dart towards me in the blackness. Throats closing up, I stumbled against the wall and opened the first door on my left, the bathroom door. I frantically slammed it shut behind me, just as something heavy barged into it from the other side. I twisted the lock and stepped backwards. I expected more banging, but the corridor was silent. The door was still. All I could hear was my own heartbeat in the icy canals of my ears. Foolishly, I tried to convince myself that Rosie had gone. I told myself it might be safe to open the door and go to my bedroom.
I can see you.
The words were whispered from the other side of the door, and they sent a tidal wave of goosebumps coursing across my flesh. Rosie was looking through the keyhole. I knew that before I even dared to look. Trembling, I reached for the light string and shakily tugged it. A murky orange glow was cast from the forgotten light bulb above me. I cautiously knelt on the tile floor of the bathroom and shuffled over to the door. At first, I looked through the keyhole. I couldn't see anything. Blackness. But then, a chilling breath danced towards me, and an eye suddenly appeared at the other end of the keyhole, revealed by the light from the bathroom bulb. Two black, cavernous irises stared back at me from the single eyeball. I gasped in horror. I finally had a clear view of the two pupils in Rosie's left iris, and I was no longer sure that I was looking at pupils. They were moving, swirling around her eyeball like miniature eels. Black, living parasites. Rosie.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I whispered, "Please." Rosie is gone. She croaked. We need more bodies.
The second pupil, which was writhing at the outer edge of Rosie's dazzlingly blue iris, suddenly divided. Before I knew it, there were three pupils fighting for space in her left eye. The newborn third pupil slid to the bottom of the iris. The black pupil, which wasn't really a pupil at all, extended into the sclera and started to ooze onto Rosie's lower eyelid. Once it had fully departed her eye, the watery black thing started to slither down the narrow tunnel of the keyhole. It was moving towards me. I backed away in slow motion, losing my grasp of reality, and watching as the unidentifiable creature seeped through my end of the keyhole. It trickled down the wooden door, heading towards the bathroom tiles on the floor. I didn't know what to do. In a blind panic, I leapt into the bathtub, keeping my eye on the dark surface that was worming its way over the tiles. Once it had reached the center of the room, I inched towards the door, reaching for the handle, leaning over the edge of the bathtub. I twisted the handle, then flung the door open. She was gone. No such luck with the black parasite. Knowing that time wasn't on my side, I hurtled over the side of the tub, steering clear of the evil creature on the floor, and rapidly closed the bathroom door behind me. I pulled my jumper over my head and wedged it between the bottom of the door and the floor. Standing in the lightless hallway, I crouched down and stared through the keyhole into the still-lit bathroom. I had to stop the black thing from escaping. I tore off a corner of my t-shirt and plunged it aggressively into the keyhole, ensuring that there was no gap through which the horrifying creature could free itself. I didn't know whether my barricades would be enough. I just knew I didn't want to go anywhere near that thing. I had terrible visions of the black worm leapfrogging onto my face, wriggling its way into my eyeball, and painfully taking over my mind. Zigzagging from wall to wall in the darkness, I found my way to the bedroom and locked myself inside. I didn't sleep, of course. I sat on the edge of my bed, keeping my phone connected to its charger and continuously lighting the keyhole to my door. Those 8 hours were longer than you could possibly imagine. In the morning, feeling unwelcome in Audrey's home, my father begrudgingly herded us into the Range Rover. "I've no idea what's wrong with her," he said as we drove away. "I thought we could spend a fun weekend together."
"You just wanted to give him a nice birthday," my mom said, consoling him. "We tried."
"She used to be easygoing," my dad said. "I guess time changes things."
It was quite a journey. I was fine with that, at first, but something soon clicked. "Jacob." We had passed so many red cars, but he hadn't uttered a word or even threatened me with a punch. I turned to face my little brother, and I immediately knew something was wrong. He didn't look directly at me, but I knew Jacob saw me in his peripheral vision. A twisted smile started to emerge on his face. I had to stifle a scream. My worst suspicion was confirmed. As if some aquatic creature were about to swim to the surface of his eye, I saw his pupil ripple.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.